Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom on the programme tonight. The Popular Front of India, along with its front organisations, including its student wing, the Campus Front of India, have been banned for 5 years after more than 100 members were arrested as a result of countrywide raids. Now, the government believes that without a ban, the PFI would continue its subversive activities, disturbing public order, undermining the constitution, enforcing a terror-based regressive regime, that's the worry, and propagating anti-national sentiments, all of which affect our integrity, our security, our sovereignty. This is all very well, and action should perhaps be taken, but what about other groups which face similar charges? What about violence associated, for example, with the Bajrang Dal, the RSS or the VHP? Shouldn't the law apply equally to everyone? Joining us now for more on this, Mehmood Paracha, Supreme Court lawyer, Yashwardhan Azad, the former IPS and Special Director of the Intelligence Bureau, Mujibur Rahman, the advocate of the PFI, with us as well, Geeta Bhatt, Ashwani Dubey, and R.S. Pathania, spokesperson of the BJP. Let me come to you first, Mehmood Paracha. I think it's a welcome step that any group which is affiliated with activity which is against our national interest, action is taken against them. But do you believe this is selective?
You've already passed your judgment that it's a welcome.
If you disagree, move. Please go ahead, sir.
Something which is against. No, it's not a welcome move. It is if you are doing something as per law and as per constitution. Now, it is admitted position, as you have rightly pointed out, that people and organizations who hold Dharm Sansat to declare that we will finish off the constitution of India and run India with the principles of Manusmriti. They are developing a new constitution. They are distributing arms. Government of India perceives that this does not qualify for declaring these organizations as unlawful associations or even under 35 terrorist organizations. Government of India perceives that and does not declare them as unlawful associations. Now, PFI has declared policy is that they are going to function. Just see their websites and all. They are going to function under constitution. Maybe, then that will depend on the evidence which the government has. Maybe they are doing certain things in a hideous manner or a hidden manner. That will all depend on the material they collect. But these organizations are declaring that they will do all this. If they do not qualify for being declared as unlawful associations, surely PFI will not.
So that you're talking about what specifically? Sanctum, you're talking about the VHP, the RSS, and the Bajrang Dal?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about when you say that perhaps these groups also? Yes.
Right. Yes. And also one Mr. Shinde. You also know one Mr. Shinde who has given an affidavit in Pune court where he has said categorically that RSS as an organization was organizing planting of bombs. So these organizations and their affiliates, they should also be taken action against.
Sure.
If these activities are not qualifying for being declared like this, then obviously PFI does not.
I get that. The law
unless
has to apply equally to everyone.
Mr. R.S. Pathania,
I don't think anybody for a moment is criticizing action against any group if they've performed illegal activities. And the list of allegations against the PFI is very strong. But the larger issue of equal applicability of the law, is that being followed or not?
Vishnu, one thing, is it not a fact that, let me refer to the judgment of the Kerala High Court. This is a judgment not only of a particular political party, but it has said about PFI. What the charge sheet of Kerala Sarkar, the Kerala Sarkar is not a Bharatiya Janata Party Sarkar. It's a Sarkar which is strictly, we could say, opposing to the BJP core, the BJP ideology, the BJP policies, BJP pro, but it has said about PFI. So first of all, there should be a consensus without pinpointing how come the RSS and how come any other affidavit filed by a person come under question. We all political parties, we should be on one stage that there should not be, there would not be, there could not be any compromise and the unity and the sovereignty and the
absolutely, sir, 100%. I think we are beyond that debate, sir. We are talking about applicability of the law, because in as much as you raise the example of the Kerala High Court judgment, I can equally bring out several other occurrences in Kerala where PFI people have been targeted. Now, it's been a bloodbath over there between the PFI and the RSS. So therefore, if action has to be taken, since we all want justice in this country, shouldn't action be taken against all?
My respectful submission.
I can give you examples, sir.
Please. Vishnu, my respectful submission. With due respect, and I want to diverge from the basic argument, which I think you are trying to make out, and the bilateral panel is the Supreme Court advocates are trying to make out. Sir, there's no question of equating RSS and PFI, sir. No question at all. No parameter at all. No justification at all. And virtually not at all. I'll say three times. Absolutely not. Okay. RSS is a different set of organization on which different state governments, at various times the union government, various courts, and nothing. Whatsoever,
so former RSS Pracharak has been convicted in the 2007 Ajmer blasts.
Doesn't matter, sir. That's not the case. That doesn't link. I will not respond to any query. This is a critical juncture.
In 2017 and 2019,
Indian soil,
Bajrang Dal and BJP members
Indian
were arrested
Indian
in MP for terror.
The Indian soil and
spying
and Indian
for ISI. So there are lots of examples.
No compromise on it at all. And there cannot be any comparison between PFI and RSS. But RSS has been doing what Mohan Bhagwat ji has said in a lively interaction with a group of Islamic scholars. The things are very clear. We need not to file a commentary. Somebody says that good wine, that a suitable wine needs no bush.
No, but Mr. Pathania, another allegation, and this has come up.
RSS, the antecedents of RSS, no need, no question at all.
I understand that you don't want to make a parallel, and I don't think you can make a parallel between the goals of these various organizations. But if you look at allegations, and I use that word, of violence, or if you look at some of the allegations of the charges against the PFI, there are striking similarities with the Bajrang Dal, the VHP, or the RSS. For example, routinely holding arms training camps. The PFI has done that. There have been allegations against members of the VHP, the RSS, or the Bajrang in doing this. Armed camps, sir, training for armed camps. So should action not be taken?
Sir, Harlem, absolutely should be taken. I am not at all that there should be two laws, one for one organization, one for one set of people, and other for another set of people. But let me kindly stay and kindly stay to respond. Please, we shouldn't clutter the debate like it.
We
shouldn't clutter the debate, sir.
We shouldn't clutter the debate.
As clear as day, sir.
Okay.
Simply making allegations, simply cluttering the internet, the social media, and the media with such baseless stories. The question is very simple, that the law of the land ultimately has come to the rescue of the country called as India and Bharat.
Okay. Mujibur Rahman, would you agree that the argument or the debate is being cluttered by taking these examples? Are these cherry-picked examples that I am taking, or anybody else is taking, or do you believe that these are valid comparisons that need to be made?
Sir, my respectful submission means, sir, that NIA, which has a conviction rate of above 95%.
Mr. Pathania, half a second. I just wanted to go across and ask Mujibur Rahman that question.
Yeah. Yes.
Actually, there is no comparison between PFI and RSS. The PFI ran a campaign across the nation, Save Constitution, and was giving the teachings of the Constitution and upholding its principles and saying the people that you should uphold the Constitution. And on the other hand, the RSS openly says that we will not follow the Constitution.
Where does it say, sir? I will show you.
No, don't, please.
What
do not do confide here. Just listen to me.
Sorry, sir.
Just have some patience, please. Please have some patience. There are so many RSS leaders who are openly calling that the constitution is obsolete and we will bring a new constitution, Hindutva Rashtra. Who is saying? RSS and BJP. But my question is not. Let me give 30 more seconds, please, Vishnu.
Even if
PFI is doing something wrong, then there is a law of the land, and that law should be followed as per the UAPA Act 1967. There is a section 3, how an organization can be declared unlawful, and then their case has to be go to a tribunal as per the section 4. Are you getting my point? And there should be a time minimum for 30 days that the opponent, the association should give a time that come to us and show us that why your association should not be declared unlawful. Where are these proceedings? Which law you are following? Pakistan's law?
Mr. Mujibur Rahman, in as much as you talk about the law, I think it's important to talk a little bit about the allegations against the PFI. And these are horrific allegations. 1,300 criminal cases, number of instances of international linkages of PFI with terrorist groups, Indian students going to ISIS with links to the PFI, the murder of people, some associated with the RSS, some not associated, jihadi literature explosives recovered from Kerala, etc., etc. So in as much as you say that the law must be fair and that the law must be followed and a chance of an appeal must take place, is it not important that we also consider what these allegations are? Because these are horrific allegations. We don't want that in our country.
Whatever are the allegations, but for these allegations, even for the Terrorism Act, even for any secession, any part of India, there is an act. How government will act? Government cannot act arbitrarily. There is a law. And the second thing is, these are just nothing. Even the NIA has no evidence before the court. The NIA, public prosecutor has submitted that the investigation is at very initial
stage.
We have
nothing.
We have nothing. We have nothing to show to the court.
I can't understand the tenor of this argument. I have, of course, seen that whenever PFI, any action has been taken against the PFI, the whole debate is turned on its head. The agencies are blamed for fabricating evidence. There is a conflation with the RSS and other organizations. I thought the subject today...
nobody is blaming the authorities of having false evidence.
On your channel, Mr. Rahman has clearly said that NIA is putting wrong evidence.
Okay, sorry,
NIA
go ahead.
NIA has done a raid. Let me speak.
Let me clarify. Vishnu, give me a chance. No, I am clarifying you.
Mr. Azad, I'll come to you after that.
I didn't say that. Let me clarify. You raised a wrong. Let me clarify. I am not against your statement, but let me clarify. I didn't say that the NIA put the wrong evidence. I said that NIA submitted before the court in Patiala House Court 2 days before.
On a national
investigation. I have a copy of the order, my dear.
All right, Mujibur Rahman sir, 1 minute. Let Mr. Azad continue. Go ahead, Mr. Azad. We won't interrupt
you. It's amazing. I mean, it's a typical debate. I have spoken on other channels also. When you want to shout out, I'm listening to you.
No one is shouting, but go ahead, sir.
Patience. You know, I've listened a lot of patience. Listen, the first thing I want to draw to your attention is the chronology. In 2010, it was a Marxist government, CM Achyutanandan, who said that PFI believes in extreme hardline ideology and wants to create an Islamic state in Kerala. That is a Marxist government. In 2012, it was a Congress government by Oman Chandy, which went to the High Court and said they should not be allowed to do the Freedom Parade because basically it's just a semi-organization in a new form. In 2005, 77 SIMI was established, and in 2001, it was banned. In 2005, when there was a reprieve, in 2006, it morphed into the organization PFI, and you would know, Mr. Rahman, some of the top guys, Abdul Samad and Abdul Rahman, joined the PFI. The PFI, you must have remembered that in 2020, August, there was a massive attack against two police stations in which 67 policemen were injured and 17 cadres of the PFI and SDBI were arrested. This is not an act of violence. I'm not talking about inter-assigned communal clashes.
Mr. Rahman, half a second, I'll come to you next.
Can I finish? Or you would like to shout again?
No one is shouting, sir. We don't do those debates here. But finish your point, please.
Yeah, I'm trying to finish my point. Now, the question is, there are three aspects which have to be looked into. Everyone knows that the case has to go to the tribunal. That's exactly the whole point. Within 30 days, it's mandated. Only then it's going to be notified. The question is, the first is radicalization, of which the NIA says it has evidence of people who had gone into ISIS. Some of them have been connected with this. Either they were motivated or they were part of the cadre.
Okay.
Second is the terror camps. And third is the terror funding. There is a clear evidence of money being collected. That is fine. There is an evidence of coming through Hawala channels. Okay, that's income tax. But the point is that this evidence, which the NIA is confirming, is going to be put up before tribunal.
All right. So let's see what happens in the tribunal. Mr. Rehman, a string. Mr. Azad got the points. Lots of points listed over there. Would you like to briefly reply before I go across to my other panelists? The allegations against the PFI, very serious. Let's not whitewash them.
It's a political government. You can put any allegations. Even today, even in today's India, we see a very serious allegations on the people who have no criminal records. And even we can see it's nothing hidden. It's open. Now to come to these points, I never said that NIA is fabricating false evidence. No, NIA submitted before the court that we have no evidence at this moment to put before the court. We are investigation is at very initial stage, and we will put these persons in the police custody, and we'll beat them, and we'll try to get some evidences, and we'll put before you. So how the law is working in this way? It is nothing, because just let me tell you should not read all the junk messages from your WhatsApp. But what I'm saying to you is the submissions of the public prosecutor before the court.
All right. Okay. Geeta ji, let me come to you next. Again, several other points which have been mentioned. For example, the overall allegations against the PFI are that they work against our constitution. They threaten our sovereignty and our way of life. On the other hand, the VHP has a holy pledge to re-establish a Hindu Rashtra. The Hindu Janjagruti Samiti's stated goal is a Hindu Rashtra. So again, the question being asked is if, you know, an idea of India other than what exists now is being put forward by a group and it's deemed to be illegal, then shouldn't that law apply equally to other groups?
Mr. Ji, I would like to quickly put forward 2-3 points. One is that, first of all, we need to understand that, whenever we are talking about Hindu or Hindutva, it is basically about a common, ancestry and a culture, a perspective of cultural naturalism that is in respect which is being talked about. Second, I want to put forth very quickly here that very recently in Annapurna, there was a rally which was organized by PFI, where one could see, all of us have seen that video, where a small child, maybe 6 or 7 year old, sitting on the shoulder of an adult was making communal incitements, where he was talking about that if Hindus are to be killed, how the last rites have to be performed, if the Christians are to be killed, and all the elders in that rally, they were supporting the call of that child.
Right.
NCPCR, the National Commission for Protection of Child Rights, had already questioned and that how, you just see the amount of radicalization. It is something which is very, very serious, and just by pointing fingers, which do not have any kind of an evidence, is not going to help protect any organization which is inciting violence, which is,
And that, Geeta ji, I assume that applies to all organizations.
If you give me just 10 seconds, it is also important to look into the historical perspective of, or rather the background, how this PFI has been formed and the people, the main persons behind it, Professor Koya, who was a professor of English in Kozhikode Government College, then Abu Bakr, and teacher of Arabic, and third is Mr. Rehman, Abdul Rehman, who was a librarian. All three of them were running their different organization, which was the National Development Front, the Karnataka Forum of Dignity, and the Manitha Niti Pasarai. All of them have, they ran into trouble with the government when they were involved in communal rights, in Marar Beach, when large number of Hindus got killed, then in Kozhikode there were communal rights. Similarly, when there was an attack on Indian Institute of Science, if you remember, in there, the allegations were made on Karnataka Forum of Dignity, and similar cases were against Manitha Niti Pasarai, and then they decided to, to camouflage, they together came together and formed this organization. And also to remind that SIMI, the founding members of SIMI were again Professor Koya and Abu Bakr. SIMI has been banned, long time banned. Who was the government at that time who banned SIMI?
Okay, all
what
right.
What is the background of SIMI?
Mahmood Paracha, would you like to respond to that? Geeta ji, one second. Mahmood Paracha, would you like to respond to that?
Yes.
A litany of complaints about the PFI.
Yes. See, what I am saying is purely technical. The pedestal and the bar of the for invoking such stringent provisions of banning an association are much higher than something which can be controlled by normal law and order process, that is by IPC and using various provisions of law. So something more, far more dangerous has to be there, and I am having this notification with me. I do not find any ingredient. So it shows that the government of India did not find any ingredient which is necessary for banning an organization. So that is one of the concerns. Despite their best effort, I don't find any ingredient which is there in section 3. Subsection 3 of section 3. So that is one of the concerns. And then there is every material against the other organizations which the government still does not consider that they formulates the ingredient of this process of banning. That's the main concern. Parity. And
okay.
There cannot be a finding of guilt by consensus. It is no argument that government, the Kerala government, the CPI, Congress and all other political parties are also having this opinion about a particular organization. That way, barring RSS and its affiliates, every other political party and political thought process is against RSS. So that cannot be a ground of banning RSS. RSS can be banned only based on facts and evidence, not on consensus.
I mean,
that is the system we are following.
Ashwini Dubey, come over here. The basic, yes. Where we started this entire debate,
that's
the principle of parity, isn't that something which we should be looking at for all organizations?
Thank you, Vishnuji, for having me here. Vishnuji, freedom of speech and expression comes. It is a fundamental right, but it comes with little bit responsibility. And we have a certain radar over that. What my friend Mujibur Rahman said, that the first tribunal has to be constituted. No. When any organization is declared as unlawful organization under Section 3, as my friend Mr. Paracha referred, that notification has to take place as per Section 3 of the UAPA Act, and notification is must. Notification has been done. Now, it is not required that the tribunal should be constituted first and then the organization should be declared as unlawful. Now, Section 4 talks about the reference to the tribunal. Where any association has been declared unlawful by a notification of Government of India, MHA, then the tribunal will be formed. And 5 says within 30 days, the reference should be done to the tribunal and High Court judge will preside. This is the law, admitted position. Now, there are 7 evidences, important evidences, of course, which will be adjudicated by the judge of this country, a High Court judge, a tribunal. One is that the PFI is involved in several criminal and terror cases. Second, investigation in various cases have revealed that the PFI and its cadres have been repeatedly engaging in violent and submersive acts, criminal violence acts. Third, PFI cadres have been involved in several terrorists and murder of several persons. Details are there. Fourth, there had been a number of instances of international linkage with global terrorist groups such as ISIS and other organizations. 5, the office bearers and cadres of PFI along with others conspiring.
We've read the list. I've read out half of the same thing. I have the same document as you. It's an unsigned document, by the way. Another
10 seconds, Vishnuji. Subject to the tribunal, decision taken by the tribunal. I do admit, as a student of law, I do admit that final decision has to be taken by the tribunal, which is an impartial tribunal.
All right, so let's wait. I think all of us should wait, therefore, for what the tribunal has to say. And in as much as we look at this particular tribunal, let's hope that there is justice and that there is no violence from any group. I think that's the larger point we can hopefully agree on. Thank you all very much for being with us. Out of time. Goodbye.